All right, Strongpreneur Nation, I'm excited today to have Lisa Earl McLeod on the podcast. Lisa is doing some amazing thing with some amazing companies, and it was a must to get her on the show here today and talk about sales. How are you doing, Lisa?
I am great. I'm delighted to be here.
Hey, so I shared a little bit about you in the intro with your bio and stuff like that, but what would be some stuff that would be important for people to know about you that are listening to this that might not be in your bio? What can you share about yourself?
You mean other than the fact that I sold the most donuts when I was 14 years old at the donut king?
That's right.
I know. It's impressive. What can I say?
You know, I was once bagger of the month at the grocery store when I was 16.
So there, you know. Impressive. Well, I think, you know, for me, I work with a lot of different types of organizations. And I work with some really large organizations that are really challenging because they've got people all over the world and all kinds of different languages. And I also work with entrepreneurs. And I think at the end of the day, it always boils down to the same thing, is how much value can you provide your customer? How well can you articulate that? And how much do you actually believe that what you're doing matters in the grand scheme of things?
Yeah, and that's kind of the idea of your book, Selling with a Noble Purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't you share a little bit about that?
Well, I've been in the sales world for a long time. My background is I was a sales trainer for Procter & Gamble. I know you said you were in the Marines. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of ex-Marines in that business.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's not as, I'm sure it's not as hard as the Marines, but it was Marine-ish, if you
there
know what
you
I
go.
Mean.
Yep, absolutely.
Quite rigorous, yeah. Nobody's going to get hurt or die, but it's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
But, and so over the course of time, I went to work for a company. We did sales leadership consulting. And how I ended up writing the book, Selling with Noble Purpose, was it really brought together two things. One, I had this very disciplined sales background with a lot of rigor around training and skills. But I also always knew that there was something intangible there, a feeling. And I'm using that word really intentionally, a feeling. Mm-hmm. And I did a study with a big pharmaceutical company where we were assessing their top salespeople and trying to figure out, you know, what made them the top people. And what we discovered was that they all had this belief, this thing that I now call noble purpose, that they were improving the customer's condition. And what was interesting was I did a lot of study on this after this was revealed with this one company. And the data is really clear on this. Salespeople, really anyone who sells with a sense of noble purpose, whose primary aim is to improve the life of their customer, they actually outsell the people who are focused on targets and quotas. And I think this is really important, especially for an entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur myself. And, you know, we all have our peaks and valleys. And as an entrepreneur, you know, it's one thing if you're in a company and you're not making your number, but if you're an entrepreneur and you're not making money, I mean, your family's not going to eat. And you start those conversations at night with yourself. Oh my God, we're going to be homeless. My spouse is going to leave me. My children are going to, you know, be embarrassed at school. I mean, like your mind can get there really fast. And so what I've seen with entrepreneurs is instead of just focusing on that number, oh, I've got to make how many thousand this week or whatever it is, the more you can just laser-like focus on where can I add the most value, that'll get your mind out of that crazy-making thing and get you focused on closing the right business. And I want to be really clear on this. Selling with noble purpose is about adding the most value to customers and being paid accordingly, because the purpose-driven companies were actually the most profitable companies. And I think people get really mixed up.
You know, I know you have a lot of home improvement contractors that listen to your show. And, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, it can be really challenging because you get so focused on, you know, the money and needing to close business. And it's really easy to live your life in a really hand-to-mouth way. But I think what's important for someone in that situation to know is, the more you can focus on how much value can I add to this customer, and it's really, it's subtle, but it's important. So imagine the difference, like I'm having a bunch of work done in my house. Mm-hmm. Imagine a difference in a painter coming to my house and thinking, oh God, please, please, please let me close a $4,000 paint job. versus a painter coming to my house and thinking, how can I make this home beautiful for this person? And you can feel the difference as a customer. And, you know, if you're in this home improvement business, this isn't like a corporate sale where the budgets are all set. There's a lot of leeway here. And I can tell you from experience, I just had a guy come to my house to quote me on a paint job. And it ended up being much bigger than I expected. And I could see where he was looking at everything. And I didn't feel like he was trying to oversell me at all. He said, you know, you've got this woodwork here. You might be surprised at how much it would freshen up. It doesn't, the paint doesn't look bad, but if we put a new coat on it, he said, let me put one on just on this one piece and see what you think. And I was like, oh gosh, we have to have the whole thing painted. And I could really feel, and I'm using that word feel really intentionally. And I know that's a word that people don't use a lot in business, but you know, particularly when it comes to your home, if someone's coming in and their noble purpose is to help you make your home beautiful and relaxing and wonderful, you can feel it. And all of a sudden, you want to do more business with that person. Mm-hmm. And so people who sell with this thing that we call noble purpose, where their lens is, how can I help the customer be better, actually outsell the people who focus on how can I close the deal. And this is true across every industry.
So can I play devil's advocate for a lot of the guys that are listening to this right now?
I wish you would.
All right. So the, what happens a lot of times, and cause I 100% agree with what you did. And I, you know, you used the painting example. I actually built, you know, a painting business outside of Chicago that did 300 to 400 projects a year. So I've done thousands and thousands of estimates and jobs through the years and, in that particular industry. And what we found a lot was people would love you. You'd go in there and you'd try to add value, and make it about them. And then you get to the point where they take your scope of work, they want to think about it, and then they shop around and hire somebody else to do the same scope of work with all the ideas that you gave them. Now, I have a way around that, you know, I'm not going to get into now, but for the guy who's sitting here, he's driving on the road, he's on the job site, he's got you in the ear right now, what do you say to that guy who might be a little cynical about giving too much away?
Yeah. Well, I want to be really clear. Selling with noble purpose doesn't mean you give things away. If anything, you're able to charge more because of the value you add. And so one of the things that you want to be really careful with, I mean, some of this from a sales perspective goes back to tactical. Mm-hmm. You know, when I go in with my clients and scope a project, and I know exactly what you're talking about because it happens on a $5,000 project, happens on a $50,000 project, happens on a $500,000 project where you spent so much time with the customer up front, adding so much value scoping that then they just flip it to somebody else. And so when that's happened to me, and it has, when I go back, what I realize is that I missed a lot of things, that I didn't ask the questions about, you know, when are you going to make a decision? I spent too much time on the scoping, gave too many ideas away for free. Instead, what I should have been focused on was, let's figure out what we need to accomplish here, and let me tell you how I'm the person to help you accomplish that. And one of the things I do right now is I address things very upfront with people. I do this in my business, and I say things like, you know, I'm going to scope this out for you, but I want us to have an agreement that if we, you know, I do this right and we're in agreement on the objectives, that we will do business. Because the last thing I want is for you to take this and then go underbid it, you know, go get a competitive bid and have someone else do it for less, because I've already done a good bit of the work. And frankly, they're not going to be able to deliver on what I've scoped. So there are a few technical things on that you can do. I think the main intent here with selling with noble purpose is sales tactics are good sales tactics no matter what situation you're in. Mm-hmm. But a customer can tell the difference between someone who is looking at them as a number and a target versus someone who is looking at them as someone they want to help. And what happens when you start to view the customer as someone you want to help, you create a different psychological relationship with that customer that not only benefits them, but greatly benefits you. And you see, people are always reading each other consciously and unconsciously, and most of it's unconscious. And so you're going to create a totally different dynamic. I mean, so I would say to anyone listening to the call, to just do a practice with your own mind right now. imagine, you know, I called you in and I said, hey, I've got this, you know, basement remodel that I need done. And, you know, I just had a big flood. I've got insurance money. I need to get this basement remodel done. Imagine you're thinking on your drive over, oh my gosh, I hope this thing is $20,000. I can close $20,000. If I can close $20,000, and then after I pay taxes on it and pay my guys, I'll have enough money to put a little money away to pay for vacation, whatever it is. Like, imagine you're thinking that. And watch where your mind goes. Where is it if you're thinking that?
Well, it's all about you.
It's all about you.
Yeah.
But now imagine you're thinking, gosh, you know, this woman's got this basement flooded. I wonder what happened. I wonder what she wants to accomplish. I wonder if she just wants to rebuild it or if she wants something better. I wonder what her vision is for this space, or if she's just so stressed out because she's got smelly carpet. I'm really eager to find out what's going on here. Now, where's your mind there?
Well, you know, it's funny, is everything you just said, it led me to all the questions I'm going to ask her, because it's all about her. You know, hey, tell me what's stressing you out the most about this project. What's going on? Fill me in, you know,
right?
And take it from there.
But you're going to ask better questions.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so we all know, and that's what we saw with these noble purpose sellers, was they asked better questions. They were more innovative. So it wasn't just some touchy feely thing where, oh, the customers like them better, because this applied even in the world where contracts go to purchasing, you know, where some serious money at stake here.
Yeah.
But what happened was the noble purpose sellers asked better questions. They gathered better customer intelligence. They uncovered things that the quota-driven sellers did not. And they were more innovative, because at the front of their mind was the customer.
Mm-hmm. So how do you, how does the average small business owner, entrepreneur develop their noble purpose?
Well, one of the things that we discovered is that it's not enough just to say we add value to customers. You have to have some level of specificity about it. And so when we work with organizations, we help them develop what we call a noble sales purpose. And I'll give you an example. One of our clients is a company called Foundation Support Works. They're out of Omaha, Nebraska. It's not the most sexy business in the world. They do concrete and they do people's basements. So if your basement is crumbling, you call them in and they shore it up. So it's not sexy. Huge company. They've got, you know, independent dealers all over the country. And so when we were working with them, and they had a great reputation, they've got low turnover, their people are on fire, their customer service ratings in every market are very high. But they wanted to have a real clear noble sales purpose. And so what we decided on for them was that they said, we are redefining the contracting industry. Mm-hmm. Because like it or not, to the people listening on this call, as a consumer, a lot of times your dealings with a contractor are not good. They don't show up when they say they will. They don't give you the estimate. They go over the estimate. They don't want to give you an estimate. You know, a lot of times you have really negative experiences.
Right.
And so what they did with this noble purpose around redefining the industry is they made a list of all the things that people have problems with in the industry. And then from that, they made their list about how they were going to be different. And they trained every single person in their company on these. And it was things like be on time. Be on time means if you're supposed to be there at 9, you're pulling up 15 minutes early to get yourself together and get your toolbox and whatever, so that you're knocking on their door exactly at 9, you're ready. They had things like fix it the first time, fix it forever. And so they said, but you want to look out 10 years when you're doing this, so that the customer, and explain to the customer what you're doing. Another thing was estimates are to the penny. They're always to the penny. And so you really think long and hard before you do that. We got a team of people all over the country doing this. So if you're an entrepreneur, what I would encourage you to do is think about your own purpose. And the way you can do that is you answer three questions. We call them the three discovery questions. Number one, how do you make a difference? Number two, how do you do it differently than your competition? And number three, on your best day, what do you love about your job?
Mm.
And so, you know, if you're a solopreneur and you're listening to this call, I would say that you should do that exercise with a friend, your spouse, your kid, and talk it out. There's not one word answers. If you're an entrepreneur and you've got a team of people working for you, have that conversation with your people. Because, you know, my brother's a contractor. He does kitchens and baths. And one of his big frustrations is getting his people engaged and getting them to mirror what he wants on the job site.
Right.
And so have this conversation with your team. How do we make a difference? Because it's really easy. I mean, if you're down there mucking out basements or you're banging up sheetrock or whatever you're doing, it's really easy to forget that this is a person's home. This is where they're going to have the best and worst moments of their lives. This is where they're going to live, where their family's going to be, where they're going to have, you know, joy and hope and despair in these walls that you're working on. And how it looks and how it works, that really matters in the course of somebody's life.
All right, so how do we make a difference? How do we do it differently than the competition? And what was the third one? I'm taking notes.
On your best day, what do you love about your job?
On your best day, what do you love
about your job? Yep. Yeah.
So,
and when you answer those three questions, buried in there is your own noble purpose.
That's good stuff. That is really good stuff. So you've touched on a couple things here. It led me to thinking, and you've kind of covered this, but I want to go a little deeper. Like, how do you, one of the biggest struggles, and maybe I'm sure it's not just unique to the contracting world, but many times the client doesn't know the difference until they've actually hired somebody.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
How do we,
funny ad on.
What's that?
I was going to say, there's a really funny ad on television right now where the contractor's looking at the client and saying, yeah, it's going to be twice as much and I won't finish the whole thing. We good to go?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, and that's the one where he's like, yeah, and that's a load-bearing wall. We don't need that one. That's good. Yeah. You know, but it's, you know, a lot of companies market well and they talk a good game and they, you know, they sell jobs and then, you know, I had a competitor back in Chicago that killed us on sales volume, but they never ever had repeat business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had no problem getting hired up front, but they never got repeat business. And we interviewed one of their sales guys one time and he's like, yeah, I need to leave because if we're not getting new leads in every week, you know, I'm not going to eat. And and so I guess, how do we take all this and make the case that, you know, we're the safe bet before we're hired, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I will tell you one thing that's really changed over the course of time since I've been in business is the internet has leveled the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody with any brains at all is going to hire somebody without looking at their online reviews from customers. You can say whatever you want on your website, but I want to see what customers say about you.
Right.
So one of the things that you can do in any business is because, you know, people go with the cheap person sometimes and then they're sorry. And that doesn't help you any if you lost the business.
Right.
So one of the things that you can do, and we help our customers do this, is make sure you have customer testimonials, whether you're getting them on your Facebook page, whether you have them on your website, you need them. And so one of the things that you can do is just speak very frankly with your customers and say, you know, I've been in this business a long time, or I've been in this business 5 years, however long you've been in this business. And I really pride myself on the fact that I have repeat customers. This is your home. It's where you live,
mm-hmm.
and you want it done right. Here's what some of my best clients had to say about me. And I would have a sheet. If I was going in to quote a job, I would have a sheet of best clients and not just saying, you know, oh, Jim was the best, but say Jim was on time. Jim was on budget. Jim's team kept the job site clean every day. And the work is stunning. He was 20% more and worth every penny with the person's name or however, you know, whatever it is. Because the other thing is, you don't want all customers.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so the better your marketing is targeted to people who really want to pay for what you do, that's going to filter out the other people who are just looking for the cheapest thing they can throw up. And so I think, you know, it can feel overwhelming to do a website, to get on social media and to do all that. But what's not difficult is to have a one pager with customer testimonials and just have that conversation with the customer. I would ask them straight up front, are you getting other quotes on this? If they say yes, say, well, I can tell you right now. I can tell you what I tell my customers. I will never be the cheapest one,
mm-hmm.
but here's what my customers have to say.
Yeah. Yeah, if I'm the cheapest one, I made a mistake.
Yeah. Oops. That's right. I forgot a couple rooms. Oops. Yeah.
So, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, the thing I want to go back to, though, is you have to have clarity in the beginning. What I did in selling with Noble Purpose was I got really specific because, you know, you talk a lot about mindset, and mindset is the linchpin because your mindset drives your behaviors. It can drive, you know, the types of business you go after. And the thing that I wanted to show in selling with Noble Purpose was not just the mindset, but how it shows up and how you can use it in the questions that you ask and the type of marketing that you do and the stories that you tell. So it's not just, okay, I'm confident. And then you go out and act the same way. You need, yeah. So I really did a pretty thorough job of giving specific examples of what it looks like in action.
Awesome. And we're going to get, just so everyone go to the show notes on the website here, you guys, and you'll get the link to get this book. Highly recommend it. So Lisa, what's the best way to manage a sales team, whether it's one other person, 10 other people, if we're doing it from the noble purpose and not, you know, how do you marry that with, you know, the quotas, right? And
yeah.
The daily habits and things like that. You know, what's that look like?
So I'll give you some quick examples. Imagine that you have the noble purpose. We're going to redefine the contracting industry. Mm-hmm. You're in the sales meeting. You got 100 people, you got 10 people, whatever you got in the sales meeting. And this month our number is 100,000. We need to close $100,000 worth of business in this month. So what you do if you're a noble purpose leader is you say, we need to close $100,000 worth of business this month. Let's talk about how many customers that is. Okay, let's say it's 100 customers, however you do business. Mm-hmm. That's 100 customers. What types of, where are we going to find those 100 people and how can we help them in a way that will add value to them and help us get the number? Because most manager to sales rep conversations go like this. When are you going to close it? How much is it going to be? Do you have the decision maker? When are they going to pay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When a manager says, how will this, there's one question that if the manager asks it, it will change the game and it will increase your win rate. The manager says, how will this customer be better as a result of doing business with us? If the salesperson can articulate that to the manager before they go out to make the sales call, they will have a more compelling story in front of the customer. We had one client that coached all their sales managers to ask this question, how will this customer be different as a result of doing business with us? And in the course of 1 year, they doubled their business.
They love it.
Doubled their win rate because the salespeople went out to the customers with a very different story.
Well, they had clarity.
They had absolute clarity.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that they did was they tracked numbers. And I'll tell you, in our company, our purpose is to drive revenue and help people do work that makes them proud. So we're in it when we consult with clients to help them make more money and do work they're proud of. And that and is critically important because people tend to create a false dichotomy between making money and making a difference. So in the organizations we work with, when they run their sales meetings, and they get out the big board or the Excel spreadsheet or however they do it, they say, okay, we closed, XYZ company for $100,000. Now, person who closed it, great job. Tell us how that company is going to be better. Woohoo! Now, next one, $200,000. How is that company going to be better? And so it's a very, very different conversation. The number's still there, but the noble purpose sales managers translate that into customer impact. And the beauty of that is if I'm sitting in the room and all the other people are getting these, you know, if you've ever been in a situation where, oh, yay, Susan, $100,000, yay, Bill, $200,000, and you're not one of the names called.
Right.
Usually if it's just numbers, you're just burning with envy. But when they say, Susan, tell us how this customer is going to be different, how are they going to be better? That becomes, to the people who didn't close those kinds of sales, that becomes much more instructive.
You know what I love about this is so many times I talk to my clients and other business owners, and they create a vision for their business and a mission and all this other stuff. And in this case, we create a noble purpose. And a lot of times these things just sit on a shelf, right? Or they're hung up on the wall. What I love,
all right,
is you are, you're gonna get what you measure. And so many times, I mean, in the examples that you just gave, you know, that owner or sales manager is basically saying, hey, the most important thing here is us understanding our noble purpose and what's important to the customer. And so they're making it a point to talk about it at every meeting, you know, and all I'm saying is a lot of times I see companies create this vision or this mission or this noble purpose, and they go, rah, rah, this is who we are. And then they never talk about it, you know?
Right. And then in the day-to-day quest for numbers, it gets forgotten, but it needs to be closely linked. If you want to close 100 customers, mm-hmm, how are we going to improve the lives of 100 people this month? Who are they, and where can we get the most improvement? Where do we find the 100 people who want their lives improved?
All right, so
and it's a totally different lens.
Yeah, so let's go super, super dialed back on this thing you just said. So you take that home improvement guy. Say it's a landscaper. He's going to come out and he's going to put in a patio in somebody's backyard, and he's going to mulch and plant some nice garden plantings, and it's going to look pretty. How does that guy make somebody's life better? So for the guy listening right now who just really needs that tangible example of, well, I don't know how I make somebody's life better, what would you say just as a consumer?
Well, one of the things that we work with our clients on is what we call customer impact stories. And one of the things that happens in a lot of industries, and landscaping is one of them, is you leave and you never get to see the impact that you have.
Right.
So one of the things that's really important to do is take a project that you did that you know was really good and the people were really happy with it, and call them back up and say, I just wanted to see how you're enjoying it. And say, you know what? My work means a lot to me. Can you tell me, what do you guys do out there? Do barbecues? Do you look at it every morning? And find some of those customers to tell you what happened as a result of your work. And you only need a couple of them. And if you've done work, you know the kinds of people who would speak to you in that sort of way. I mean, right, as a consumer, I can tell you, you know, when we had landscaping work done on a previous house that we lived in, we had landscaping done. My husband and I used to sit out on our porch, watch our daughters on the swing set. It was all nicely, you know, sodded when they played, you know, t-ball. The swing set had all the right mulch underneath it. And that for 10 years was how we spent a lot of our evenings. And it was really, really special to our family. Really special. And we moved in, we had a bunch of nasty old, you know, pine trees that were about to topple over, and the whole yard was pine straw, you know. But over the course, when we changed that, for 10 years, we enjoyed it, and our yard was the go-to place for all the kids. It was great. Yeah. It was like the most fabulous thing. And so that's the thing. If you know, noble purpose does a lot of things. It creates a better relationship with your customer. It increases your close rate. We have solid evidence it increases your revenue. But here's a little secret that it does, is it makes your job more enjoyable.
Yeah.
Because you know it matters.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we all want to know that, you know, we're winning. And I don't just mean financially, right? I just mean like we're fulfilled. And that means a lot of different things. You know, the thing you just said about calling somebody up later on to see how it goes. A lot of contractors I know do that. They, hey, how's the paint job look 3 weeks later or whatever. And where my mind went is, how cool would it be if, I don't know, a month or two or whatever after a project, when everything's pulled together, you contractors listen to this, maybe you grab your team, your crew that did the job, and you go look at it. You go visit it. You know, you bring,
absolutely.
You bring the customer a bottle of wine to say thanks. And hey, you know, we just wanted to come out and see how it all came together. Cause I remember being a contractor years ago, we would be in there. We were doing these, you know, gorgeous, you know, $1.5 million, $2 million homes. And we'd be in and out and never see the thing totally done and pulled together, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking what an impact that would have made on my guys, to really help them to really see how the work they do, you know, matters in that sense.
Oh, it's huge. And I mean, a lot of this work, let's be honest, it is rough, hard work.
Yeah.
It is very hard work. And the examples I used about someone coming to do my basement mm-hmm. were not just fictional examples. I had a water pipe broke in just a couple days ago, and my whole basement got flooded. And so the guys were downstairs, you know, mucking it out. That's fun work, you know, ripping up this nasty carpet and all this other stuff. And, you know, they do this every day. They're good at it. They're nice guys. And I went down, I said, you all have no idea what a big difference this is making, that you came here so quickly, that you're getting rid of it, that you're taking care of it. You know, this place looks like a mess now, but it's going to look really good in a couple of weeks. And I just can't thank you enough. You know, that's because I wrote Selling with Noble Purpose. Most homeowners need a little more prompting to do that, but they will do it if you prompt them.
Absolutely. No, that's awesome. That's, mm-hmm. And I'm sure it meant a lot to them because, you know, most people complain, right? You know, they're especially in that situation, like they're annoyed that they had water damage and they take it out on the dudes working in the home, you know? So,
right.
You know, cause for many reasons. So as we kind of wrap this up, I want to, I'd love for you to share, like, if you could wave a magic wand over the average salesperson, what would you change immediately? I guess I'd like to end with that. Just like what things come to mind that you would just go, man, you know, this isn't happening anymore.
Let's talk about what could be.
Yeah.
Three things that I would make sure every salesperson online had.
Oh, this will be
one,
gold. This is good.
Name and claim your own noble purpose. You need to be able to clearly articulate for yourself and your customers how you make a difference. How you make a difference. Number two, find customer impact stories. Whether that's going back to the house and watching them use the pool, whether that's calling them up, asking them how they use the room. Find two or three good customer impact stories that become your reset button. Mm. Every time you're in a stressful situation, every time you're going for a big sale, those stories trigger very powerful emotions in you and they make you your best self. So find those stories and use them as your reset button. And number three, and this is super simple. Before you go on any sales interaction, when you're knocking on that door, take a breath, ground your feet, and think to yourself, I'm here to add value. If you do that, you will calm yourself, you will get oxygen flowing to your brain and all your extremities, and you will ignite your frontal lobes, which are the smartest, most creative part of your brain. You will show up as a better person if you do that.
That is awesome. Well, I got more than I bargained for on that question. Thank you.
Add value all the time.
That's right. Well, that's super. So if somebody wants to... couple things. First, if they want to reach out to you, hire you, have you speak, anything like that, how do they find you? And then the second thing is, where do they get the book? What's the best way to do that?
Best way to find me, our website is McLeod & Moore, but if you literally just Google Lisa Noble Purpose, you will find me.
Perfect.
And I would love, you know, a lot of companies have me speak at their conferences, mm-hmm. you know, where they have user conferences or industry conferences. I do a lot of keynote speaking, so I'd love it if someone's interested in having me speak at a conference. So if you just Google me, you'll find me. Contact button on the website, go straight to me. Also, if you want the section about the three discovery questions, you can just drop me a note and we'll send you a white paper on that. You can copy it, share it with your team, do whatever you want. Totally free.
Awesome.
And then if you want the book, it's Selling with Noble Purpose and it's on Amazon.
Cool. Well, we'll make sure to put links to all this stuff in the show notes for everybody. And Lisa, I really appreciate, for those of you that don't know, we had this interview planned for like two other times and we just had some crazy natural things happening here by me in Colorado with wind and storms and knocked out power and internet. So first I want to thank you for your flexibility and your willingness to reschedule. It really, really means a lot. And I know that you added a ton of value to the people listening here. So I appreciate that.
Thanks. People that work in people's homes are kind of the unsung heroes. It's an important business.
It is. We do good stuff. And you know, consumers are looking for that safe choice. And I know the people that are listening to this are looking to level up and be better. And they are that safe choice. And I know that we equipped them here today with some more stuff to help them win more business and have more of an impact. So I appreciate you being here.
Great. It was my pleasure.
Awesome. We will be in touch. We'll get those links going. And for those of you that want Lisa's book, make sure you head over to motorhard.com. Look for the show notes on this and you will get it there. And Travis, bring in those guitars.